You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
And what I love about Real Church is we're a place of training people to do things. And today, Tawny is going to get up and she's going to teach again. Now, last time, Tawny did amazing. Tawny was amazing. Do you know why Tawny was amazing? It was because you were amazing. When you get up and teach a group of people who want to be taught, it's easy. When you get up and you teach a group of people who want to learn and they're there for you and they're cheering for you, it's amazing. Think about it. Some of you guys have gone to a four-year-old gymnastic review. A four-year-old doing gymnastics. Just think about that for a moment. And why was that four-year-old amazing running around in a swimsuit in that room? Because you decided that that kid was amazing. So what I'm trying to say to you guys is, as I bring Tawny up, you can help Tawny by already deciding, God, Tawny's going to do amazing, and I'm going to hear a word from you, God, and I'm ready to hear from you. That's a choice. You can choose, I don't want to hear today. Guess what's going to happen? It doesn't matter who gets up and shares. Jesus could walk in here, preach a sermon, and if you're that prideful, you're not going to hear anything. My prayer for you is that you're open to hear what God has to share. Amen? All right, Tawny, come on up. Pray for you. Now, I did this for Rocky years ago. I did this for Michael years ago, and I'm still doing it for Tawny, okay? Tawny gets to teach at Real Church because her pastor, who's me, says that Tawny gets to teach. Now, what's funny is, Tawny contacted me through text message because she was too afraid to call me and said, hey, pastor, God is telling me I'm supposed to teach for you. And I was like, awesome. When? You know, the kind of the conversation. And she said, God's saying you're really supposed to be on vacation. So how about I preach for you so you can be on vacation? Do you know when that is? And I was like, yes, I do. Next week. Now she's like, what? It was like, what, 2 weeks notice?
Yeah, okay. 2 weeks notice.
She's like, thanks God. And I was like, thanks God. Two different ways of saying thank you God. Keep having fun. Okay. One of the things I want to share with you guys is God shared with Tawny, hey, you need to get up and teach again. This is a gift you need to use for me. I want you guys to see that each of you in this room has a gift that you can use for God. My prayer and my blessing over you and this church is that we would all use our gifts to honor God. Amen? So I'm going to pray over Tawny as she uses her teaching gift, that we would bless her, that she would teach us and point us to Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Tawny preparing this week. Father, we bless her with the blessing of us listening in anticipation of hearing God, what you want us to hear. Lord, protect her voice. God, comfort her heart. Set her mind on you. And Lord, let her just be comfortable that you, Holy Spirit, are at work. That her job is just to stand up and be obedient. And our job is to be obedient and listen to you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Morning. So I'm going to be teaching on John 10. So if you guys want to head into your Bibles to John 10 or your app or, you know, wherever you guys want to do. Before that, I'm just going to give some context because I love context. It's one of my favorite things. So as a church, we've been going through the Gospel of John for since January. So we hit about 7 months now. And we're literally going to be in John up until the end of the year. So we have a whole year of the gospel. And I think that's amazing that we get to really sit in scripture and take our time because we do get to see these themes that are coming out because we're staying in one text. And we get to really understand kind of time and conversations and when things are happening. And so John 9, we learned last week, Jesus healed a blind man. And people are like, what? This is crazy. And they're, you know, they're divided. They're like, yes, he did that. That's amazing. Or they're saying he's crazy. Or they're saying he has a demon in him, right? It's like, that's what's happening. So that conversation is continuing on into John 10. is that it's still the same people. They just witnessed a miracle, really. They witnessed a sign. And now that they're coming over here, put yourself in that context. Put yourself in the idea that I just witnessed this happen, and now there's this guy named Jesus talking, and do I believe this? And so in John, he is writing basically a dissertation. He's writing why Jesus is the Messiah and why he is the Son of God. That's all throughout John. And if you get anything out of today and anything out of 2018, is that Jesus is the Messiah and he is the Son of God. So I want you guys to repeat that for me. Who is Jesus? Messiah, the Son of God. Let's do it one more time. Who is Jesus? Messiah, the Son of God. All right, we're done. We're good, right? That's it. That's all we need to know. So how does, you know, John do this? He does this in two ways. And we've learned about this already throughout the year, if you've been keeping up with John with us. He does it in the signs, and he does it in the I am statements. So signs, we just saw a sign in John 9. The sign is that Jesus can heal. Jesus gives sight to the blind. And the difference between a sign and a miracle, and people get this confused, they think it's the same thing, but it's not. A miracle, a lot of people can actually do miracles through the Holy Spirit, but only Jesus can do a sign. Because a sign is literally a sign pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. He's saying, I'm the one who's been prophesied. I am the Messiah. I'm here. And I'm going to show you who I am. Another way that John shows it is through the I am statements. And the I am statements, we've already done a couple of them. And there's seven of them all together through the Gospel of John. And the I am statements tell us who God is. He's saying, I am. Which harkens back to Exodus. It harkens back to when God shared with Moses his name is I am, Yahweh. And so when Jesus says I am, he's saying I am. He's saying I am God. And it's so important to recognize that, because you're looking at it and going, okay, Jesus is saying he's God. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. All right, I'm learning who this guy is. So every time you see an I am statement, it's important to see it and go, all right, he's saying who he is, and he's also saying what he's going to do. And so in John 10, we're going to hit two I am statements. Jesus makes two of them. He says, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. They're metaphorical, because he's not literally a door. But it's still important to see that and go, all right, what are you telling me by saying I am? Oh, okay, you're telling me who you are and what you're going to do. So today we're going to go into John 10, and we're going to look at Jesus as the Messiah and as the Son of God. We're going to look at and see, who is he? Who is Jesus? And what is he doing? What does he plan to do? Because again, this is before he's died. This is before he's risen on the cross, guys. Like, they have no idea what he's talking about. And even so, half the things that God says, we still don't fully understand. Like, we have to admit that, right? Like, he's still working in us. He's still doing his ministry, and he's returning, and there's more stuff that's going to happen when he returns. And so it's important to don't put, like, time brackets on it, because it's so open. You get to see Jesus doing what he's doing, and you get to anticipate more of what he's going to do. And so I love this chapter, and I'm actually really excited that God was like, you're teaching, you know, this week. Initially, I was like, what? I get that. I'm good shepherd. Oh, no. But then I thought, I'm going to say that with everything I teach. I'm like, oh, no. Yes. Oh, no. You know, because I want to do right by God. You know, I want to make sure that I preach his word and not Tawny's word, but Jesus's word. So I'm going to read John 10, 1 through 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, see the wolf coming and leave the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind?" Father, thank you so much for your words. God, I pray that you illuminate the text for us, that you teach us what you want us to know. Lord, that you really show us who you are in this time. In your son's precious name, amen. Okay, so we're going to ask four questions. The four questions are mainly found in John 10, and I'm going to try to stick in John 10. I'm so tempted to go everywhere in the Bible, but that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to stay in John 10. So we're going to ask four questions, and the first question, if you want to, yeah, thank you. Why should you listen to Jesus? Who is Jesus? What is Jesus saying? And how can you listen to Jesus? So the first question, and these will come around again. You can write them down now, but they will also come around again. So the first question is, why should you listen to Jesus? This actually comes from the text. It's actually at the very end of the passage I just read. It's verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon, is insane. Why listen to him?" And I saw that, and I went, that's such a powerful question. That's a question we need to ask every day. Why do I listen to Jesus? Why do we listen to Jesus? Individually and corporately, why do we listen to him? Why have we given him authority in our life? If you are a follower of Christ, it means you are a follower of Christ. You follow Christ. He tells you to go this way, you go this way, you go this way, you go this way. I mean, I know for many of us in this room, we've followed after Christ. We have changed our lives for Christ. I mean, that's my prayer for all of us. Every moment of the day is that we choose to follow him, that our lives are completely transformed once we call Jesus Lord. And again, he's Lord. He has authority. He has rule, reign, and authority over our lives. And we have to ask that question because for some of us, we say we believe, but we don't really believe. And something that, if you've gone to Kindred, which is our women's ministry, I've talked about this before, is do you believe what you believe? Can you say, "I'm a follower of Christ," but your actions don't show it? You're just like, "Yeah, I follow Christ, but I'm going to be over here. I'm going to hang out over here, and Jesus says to go over there, but I don't really care because I'm doing my own thing." That's a lot, well, a lot of us do. And we'll get more into it later, but Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are sheep. That means we're sheep, which may sound derogatory, but kind of is, and it's kind of true, because I don't know about you, I get really distracted, and I go into dangerous places a lot. And I think we, as a culture, because we have the internet, go into some dark places a lot. And God's like, hey, don't go over there. And you're like, no, I'm fine. I can do this on my own. I'm good. I can go over here. And God's like, no. Get back in the pen. Go back with the family. It's safety in numbers. There are wolves out there. They will come get you. Go be with your people. So we have to ask ourselves that question, is why do we listen to Jesus? Because Jesus says that we hear his voice. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do you actually hear Jesus' voice? He says, my own know me. Do we know Jesus? Can we hear Jesus when he says to go somewhere? Are we actually going? And the bigger question is, if you can hear him, do you actually obey? It's a heart issue, right? And so what I loved about, you know, the Pharisees is they're asking this question, and then, I mean, they could be coming at it with pride, right? It's like, why should I listen to you? Like, why should I listen to you? Like, who are you? Who are you? Like, what authority do you have in my life to tell me what I should do, right? When really what we've learned as a church is we got to come with humility, right? Not pride. You can still ask that question. It's, why should I listen to you? What am I missing? Maybe I should listen to you. Okay, help me to listen to you, God. Because I don't know about you. I mean, when you ask that question of who are you, you're asking the question, who is Jesus, right? You're asking about that person. How do they have authority? And I know, like, on the train, if the conductor came on the train and told me to get off the train, I'm getting off the train, right? He has authority to tell me to get off the train. And he probably knows something that I don't know, and I want to get off the train. But if some random person came on the train and he was like, hey, get off the train, initially I'd be like, excuse me, who are you? Like, no. And then I would also go, yeah, I want to get off the train because I don't want to be on a train with someone who's telling me to get off. Like, I can't take this person. It's not worth it. There are lots more trains I can go on. So we have to ask ourselves the question, who is Jesus? Why are we giving him authority in our lives? Why do we get to be told to go into the sheep pen? So this is actually really the first question, is who is Jesus? So we're going to go into that. So who is Jesus is, I think, the biggest question we have to ask ourselves. And it's a question I think we should always ask ourselves, because it's one of those questions, those lifelong, eternal questions that we get to ask, is we get to go, who is Jesus? And he reveals himself to us. That's what's amazing, is we can ask this question and God's like, here I am. This is who I am. Here, read my scripture. Here, hang out with my children. Here, hang out with my son. Here, hang out with my Holy Spirit. I've given you the Holy Spirit. Like, he wants to reveal himself. He loves intimacy. He loves us. We are his children. And we get to be with him. But we have to ask that question. We have to want to ask that question. We have to want to be in his presence. Because if not, you're going to just be going around like a sheep, going this way. And I have to tell you, I grew up in Moreno Valley, California. And we had mountains, hills, and lots of green pastures, and fires would break out constantly. And so somebody got the genius idea of like, hey, we should probably get a guy who has sheep and eat the grass so that none of us, you know, die. And as a kid, I would watch these sheep and just be like, sheep are dumb. Because they would just start running into the streets, and there's cars. And I'm like, what are you doing? There's a car. Of course, the sheep has no idea what a car is. And I'm 7, and I still run into the street too. But I'm like, there's a car. And then there's this dog who's a genius. And the dog's just like, you know, bringing them in, back onto the land. And I would go like, I want to be that dog. That dog is super cool. Like, he gets to tell people what to do. And then I realized, like, there's so much more than that. There's so much responsibility the shepherd has. The shepherd is there to take care of, right? And that's what Jesus does. He takes care of us. He brings us in. He keeps us away from cars to hit us. I mean, I'm very, very thankful. So that's a little piece of who Jesus is, and we're going to get really into it because I'm going to try to stay within the time, but we'll see what the Holy Spirit does. So to answer this question, who is Jesus? We have to look at the I am statements. It's I am the door, I am the good shepherd. Again, this tells us what he is doing, what he's planning to do. So we're going to go over 7 points. The first point is Jesus is our Messiah. So this is who he is. But it's also what he's planning to do, right? Because the Messiah is just not who he is. It's actually what he's doing. So in verse 7, John says, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" Amen. Amen. So if you can go to the next slide, Shay. This is a picture. It's not the best quality, but I wanted to show this to you because many of us have not been around sheep. Most of us live in the city and haven't really been out and about. And again, as I told you my little story, the most experience I had as sheep was really watching a dog. It wasn't really watching the sheep. And so this is an image, and this is a sheep pen. And historically, a lot of different houses would actually get together and put their sheep in there. So it's not just one shepherd's sheep. It's the community sheep would be in here because a lot of people couldn't afford their own sheep pen. And as you can tell, there really isn't a gate. It's the shepherd. The shepherd's literally the door. There's nothing keeping them in. There's no actual door. It's the shepherd that sits there. And what I found interesting, and I can't go too much into it, but some of us know that the shepherds were the lowest rank of society. Not many people respected shepherds because they were out with sheep all the time because there's literally no door. So a shepherd has to be there. And over time, I mean, that intimacy grows, right? Is that if there is a shepherd whose presence is in that space, the sheep gets to know them. The sheep starts to recognize their voice, starts to recognize the shape of them, right? And the shepherd's role is to also make sure nothing gets in. So no wolves get in, no poachers. I mean, nothing, right? Everybody stays where they're supposed to be. And so that's our Messiah, right? Our Messiah is our door. He has come to save. He's come to rescue. Rescue us from danger. Rescue us from ourself, really. And part of that is knowing who our Messiah is hearing his voice, is recognizing his presence. Because maybe sometimes you can't hear his voice, but you can feel him. You can feel his presence. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I'm in prayer and I'm like, I can't hear you, God. I feel so far away. But then I feel his presence and I'm like, no, you're still here. I may not be able to hear you, but I know you're right next to me. I know that you're my Savior. Point two. Jesus offers us abundant life. So we see that in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We have life. As followers of Christ, we have eternal life. I think that's so amazing. And what's also great is, yes, this is sharing about what Jesus is doing now. And later. So later we have eternal life. But we have that eternal life now. And we have that life now. Before we were dead to our sins, right? Before we were lost. And then Christ came, and now we have life. We have blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And we get to live in that now. We get to have that now. We don't have to wait till the future and go, oh, well, when I die, I get to go to heaven. We have heaven now because heaven is just being in the presence of God, and we get to be in his presence all the time. All we have to do is just be with him. Number three, Jesus willingly sacrifices himself. He is faithful to his flock. So in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. What I love about this is Jesus cares about us. And it's okay if you don't believe that. We all have those moments where we don't really believe that Jesus cares about us. I know I've had that moment, especially when something crummy is happening in my life. I'm like, do you really care about me? And it's, yes, he does. Even if you don't feel it, even if you don't think it, it doesn't mean that it's not true. He is willingly sacrificing himself. He has called us his own. Shepherds would willingly die for their sheep because that's their whole livelihood. Society doesn't want them. This is their entire life. They have to fight to keep their flock protected. And Jesus does the same, is that he loves us. He's willing to die for us. He is the Messiah, the slain Messiah. Number four, Jesus not only allows us to know him, but he knows us, and he knows the Father. He is the Son of God. In verse 14, it says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. So again, here's that I am statement. He's saying, I am the good shepherd. He is that shepherd that's sitting at the gate who loves us. And what's amazing is he knows the Father. He knows God. And remember, he is speaking to a group of religious leaders who would never have called God Father. That was scandalous. And it's scandalous now for even us to call God Father. So it's crazy. We're sinful creatures. Like, how could God be our Father? And it's because of Jesus that God can be our Father. And we get to know God because Jesus knows us. We have access to God because of Jesus. He is literally the good shepherd. Like, he gets to, he shepherds us into greener pastures, into eternity, into the new earth, the new heaven, new earth. I mean, I always think about, like, how grateful I am. I mean, I just have these moments where I just sit there and I go, like, God, you're so amazing. Because I can talk to you and I can call you God and I can call you Father. And Jesus is so amazing because what he did, I get to have access. And he is so gracious to spread that gift to us. That we get to receive that gift because of what he did. That is who Jesus is. He gives abundant life. He willingly sacrifices. This passage in John 10 is so overwhelmingly beautiful because it is revealing who he is to us. And the more you sit in it, and I don't have the time, but I recommend just sitting in John 10 and just meditating on it. And really seeing, wow, this is who my God is. This is who my Savior is. I'm good. Like, life's crazy, but I'm good. I'm protected. I'm in the sheep pen, and he's at the door, and he's not letting anything in. The only thing is me getting out. But God's gracious and puts us back in gently. Sometimes. Sometimes he just kicks us in, depending on your level of pride, really. So number five, Jesus unifies all believers, Jew and Gentile, into the body of Christ, the church. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Friends, that's us. Most of us are not Jewish. We're Gentiles. And he's opened up the gate He made this sheep pen so much bigger. Before, it was small, and it was very inclusive, and it was very, very small. And God's like, I love the world. I'm sending my son for the world. Those who follow me can come in. Doesn't matter who you are. Do you believe? Come on in. This is my son. He's the good shepherd. He'll take care of you. Number 6, Jesus has the power and authority over life and death. Resurrection, guys, resurrection. So verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This is the passion of the Christ right here. He willingly comes in and lays down his life. He gives that, God's given the authority to do such, and he lays it down. And then he picks it up again, which nobody saw coming. Like, that is like huge twist to the plot, right? If you're the disciples and you see your Lord die, you're like, well, there's the end of that story. And then all of a sudden he comes up again, and you're like, wait a minute, the tomb is empty? What? What's happening? And then it's like, haha, part 2, come again, see the sequel. And we're in the sequel. That's where we're at right now. Jesus is risen, and we're enjoying the sequel. And it's a trilogy, though, okay? Because Jesus is coming back, but he hasn't come back yet. So we're in the second book, which, I don't know about you, I read a lot, I write a lot, and in a trilogy, second book is always the longest. The first book, you're like, oh, this is really cool, this is really exciting, you're meeting all the characters. The third book is all the resolution. You're like, oh, all the good guys and the bad guys are coming out, and they get to like fight each other. This is exciting. But the second book is always the, all right, exposition, character development, which is what we're going through right now, guys, is we're going through that character development, right? And it's so painful. It's called sanctification, and it is just like, is this book over yet? I'm tired of growing and dying to self, and come on, Jesus, come back. So we're in the second book, guys, but still exciting because we get to be a part of the story now. Is that Jesus united all of us. We get to be in this story. And praise God for that. I do not want to be on the outside looking at this story going, oh, man, I want to be in that sheep pen because I know what's coming. I'm going to die. I'm not on the good side of history. I'm the bad guy. It's like, no, we want to be a good guy. We want to be with the hero, right? We don't want to be with the villain. Well, our society wants to be with the villains. Let's just say that now. I know how Marvel's movies work. Everyone wants a good villain. Everyone looks over the hero. And I think that's culture coming in, right? Is as Christians, we got to look at it and go, no, I want the hero. I don't want to be like the villain. Because we think, oh, the villain's so cool. No, he's not. Villain always loses. Villain always dies. I don't want to die. No, I don't. And then also, number 7, Jesus obediently follows the will of God. This is the last verse. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus is obedient. And as followers of Christ, we're called to do the same thing. We're called to follow the will of God. That means following Jesus. That means following the Holy Spirit. It's hard. I'll be the first to admit it. It is really hard. And when I look at Jesus, though, I think he died. I haven't died, like, physically yet. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, I've died lots of times, right? But physically, I haven't. And I haven't suffered the way that Jesus suffered. And there's a whole nother layer to Jesus' suffering that us humans will never understand. Because I don't know about you, I can't imagine my own creation, my own children, killing me, hurting me. I mean, if some of you are parents, can you ever imagine that your child would ever do that to you? I mean, that just not only hurts you physically, but that gets you to the core. Because you love them so much, and they are hurting you at a whole nother level. And so I think about that with Jesus is, I don't have it that bad. When I'm like just having a bad day and I'm like, where are you, Jesus? I can go, okay, calm yourself down, Tani. Okay, you don't have it that bad. Okay, I mean, so you have sinus issues this week. That's okay. In the big, you know, grand scheme of things, I'd rather take sinus issues than, you know, suffering like Jesus. Puts things into perspective. So now that we understand a little bit about who Jesus is, and honestly, that was like a little bit, right, of who Jesus is. I'm sure all of us could tell tales of who Jesus is, because for most of us, we've experienced him. We've spent time with him. We can testify who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. And I'm trying to stick to John 10, and I'm trying to get us out, you know, before 2:00. So I'm going to, you know, stick to this, and I'm just going to go back to my questions. So the questions I was asking is, why should you listen to Jesus? Which I'll go back to that later to really answer that. To really answer that is to ask, who is Jesus? And then now we're going to ask, what is Jesus saying? So we've looked at the I am statements. We looked at the signs. And again, it's pointing out, who is Jesus? So what is John's theme again? I'm going to ask. John's theme is, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he's saying, really. This entire conversation, he is saying that. And Jesus, like, John didn't just make this up, just so you guys know. Jews had been expectantly waiting for their Messiah. Scripture has been saying that the Messiah is coming. There's been prophecy. They've been looking for the Messiah. And these two statements reveal that Jesus truly is the fulfillment of Scripture. That when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, he's relating back to Scripture. He's saying, hey, I'm fulfilling this. Because again, these are religious leaders. They know Scripture. They know what the Scripture says. They're looking for this. And Jesus knows that. And for us, who, you know, for the most of us, we don't know that. We don't know, especially the Old Testament, as well as we should. I'm sure we don't know the New Testament as well as we should. Let's just be real. I mean, I think that's what's amazing about Scripture, is that we can spend our rest of our entire lives reading it and still not fully know it. And I think that's amazing, because what movie or book have you seen 1,000 times that you still love to watch? Sometimes you're just like, hey, I'm bored now. I know what happens. With God, it's, I'm not bored. I don't know what's happening. What? This is cool. Holy Spirit, you just showed me that. I've read that text 1,000 times. There's no way that means that. Oh, it does mean that. Oh my gosh. Lord, you're so cool. I didn't see that coming. You're so cool. So we're going to look at the Old Testament. And I said I'd try to stay in John 10. I'm going a little bit out. I'm not going to stay too long into it, but I'm going a little bit out because I want you guys to see how he's fulfilling prophecy. So in Ezekiel 34, we don't have time to go through the entire chapter, but I urge you to, if you can, to go through Ezekiel 34 because it shows so much more about what's happening in John 10. And there's so many other themes that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about corrupt religious leadership. There's like so many other things that he's talking about, but I'm sticking to that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, because let's just not get overwhelmed here, right? So in Ezekiel 34, it says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after a scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. Do you see some of John 10 in there? right? I mean, I'm the shepherd. I'm going to unite my people. I'm going to bring us into new pastures. And what's great about this is prophecy. This is what God is saying is going to happen. And Jesus is saying, this is what I'm doing. I am the good shepherd. I'm doing this. And to them, they're still like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because Jesus hadn't done it yet. He's doing foreshadow. He's saying, this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to do this. And still, what's amazing is, yes, he died. Yes, he's risen, right? Yes, we are united in one church. But that's still not fully realized yet. We still have Jesus returning. And that's really when it's the day of clouds and darkness. That day has not yet come. We kind of have the pre-storm, right? But the day of clouds and darkness is when literally all hell will break loose. That hasn't come yet. But we can rest knowing that Jesus is going to be there. We don't have to be afraid. Because we have a good shepherd. We have the door who's keeping us in, who's keeping the bad things out. Another fulfillment of prophecy, and I really won't go too deep into it, I promise you guys. But again, the religious leaders are sitting there, and Jesus is saying he's the good shepherd. There's other people who have been called the good shepherd in Scripture, and that's King David, and it's Moses. Two patriarchs of the faith. And you do not mess around with the patriarchs. And Jesus has done it several times, right? I mean, he has definitely come in and says, I'm greater than Moses. I'm greater than David. And every time the Jewish leaders are like, hey, you can't say that. Don't you say that. Don't you say that. No one can say that. Only God is greater than Moses. Jesus is like, that's right, because I'm God. I can say I'm better than Moses. I can say I'm better than David. If you want to go into 1 Samuel sometime, I won't go in there now. Read about David. He is a shepherd. He took down a lion to protect his sheep. I don't know about any of you. Have you ever taken down a lion? No. But if it's for your child, I'm sure you're going to take down a lion, right? And that's how Jesus is with us. He will take down death for us. Don't be afraid. All right. We're going to go back into John 9:35. So, I love this because, again, it's the same conversation, right, as last week. They just healed a blind man, or Jesus just healed a blind man. The Pharisees are questioning it. And this comes at the end of the chapter. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and he is who he is talking with you. And it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. We believe who Jesus is because he is the Son of God and he is the Messiah. We have just seen how he is the Messiah, and right here he's saying he's the Son of God. It's the same conversation. That's what I find amazing, is that there's this, we do ourselves a disservice by dividing them into chapters or dividing them into conversations. But here, Jesus has just healed a blind man. He showed a sign. He says, I am the Son of Man. I am the Son of God. Then he goes over here and says, I'm the shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the Messiah. I'm here. It's all of it. He's revealed who he is. He's saying to the religious leaders, I am God. Surprise. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, why should we listen to you? Because they just witnessed all of this. And the thing is, I know for a lot of us, we've witnessed healings. We've witnessed miracles. We've witnessed God doing amazing things. We've heard God say, I am Lord. We've heard other people tell you, right? You've heard other people say, you know who Jesus is? Jesus is this guy, and he's amazing. So you've heard other people say it. But still, we ask ourselves the question, why should I listen to you? And really, it's a heart question, right? It has nothing to do with our brains, really. Because we can know the truth. We've seen it. The religious leaders knew the truth. They knew scripture. They've seen with their eyes a miracle. And yet they're still blind. And we've done the same thing. Is that we've seen Jesus. And we still sometimes ask ourselves, who are you? Why should I listen to you? And it is definitely a hard question because we know, like, sure, you're the Messiah. Sure, there's prophecies you're fulfilling. Yes, you are faithful to deliver on your salvation, to deliver protection, to deliver abundant life. Yes, you are the Son of God. Yes, God told you to do these things, to die on the cross. Yes, you did all of that. Yes, you promised that you're going to come back and you're going to unify everybody, no matter who you are. Whether you're a Gentile, whether you're a Jew, whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether the color of your skin, it doesn't matter, right? Jesus says, I will unite all of you. And then we get to spend eternity with him, right? We get to go to new heaven, new earth. We get to do all of this. And it's amazing. And he's proven himself. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. But if you're still going, well, I don't know. Who are you, Lord? I want nothing to do with you because I got my own life. It's pride, right? It's a pride issue. And my prayer for us is that we come in with humility, is that we look back on our lives and go, this is who Jesus is. This is what he's done in my life. This is how I've changed. This is how he's changed the people in my life. That there is no way that I would be who I am today without him. And I thank God for that, right? Thank God for that. And I think what's also hard for us is that just as sheep, we get distracted. Is that we know in our hearts we want God. We want to spend time with him. We want to be in the sheep pen, right? But we get so distracted by so many other things. We hear so many voices telling us what to do, where to go. We have our bosses. We have our parents. We have our spouses. We have culture. We have politics, right? We have entertainment. We have so many messages, and some with authority to tell you where to go, to what to do, right? But you have to ask yourself, who are you to tell me what to do? Are you Jesus? Yes, you have authority to tell me what to do, and I want to follow you. And the way to do that, so the question we have to ask is, the last question is, how can you listen to Jesus? And it's by practicing being in the presence of God. Jesus said that we know his voice. And we know his voice because we hear his voice. We are in his presence. Just like a newborn baby knows their parents, that baby knows their voice, right, Siobhan? The other person comes in, the baby's like, I don't know who you are. Logan's like, she's giving me so many side eyes. She's like, I don't know who you are. No, it's totally fine. I get it. But when mama comes in, the baby's like, oh, my mom's here. Okay, good. And even the shape, right? The shape of you, the baby's like, oh, that's my parent. That's my parent. I can't hear them, but I know that shape. That's how we are with God, right? Is the more that we spend time in his presence, the more we hear his voice. It becomes louder than the other voices. It becomes the voice that calls to your heart that you're like, I'm following you. I don't care what everybody else says. My heart is burning for you. I want to follow you. I want to be protected. I want life. I want life abundantly. And I can have that because of your voice, because I can follow your voice. So how do you get in the presence of God is the question. And Being in the presence of God, it's different for each person. And it's relational, right? It's not just do these things, check one, check two, check three, and you're in the presence. It's not like that, right? It's like any other relationship that you have with a person. It takes time. And it takes intentionality. It takes willing to sit in the awkwardness, to ask questions, to answer questions. Because I don't know about you, God has asked me lots of questions, and I'm like, I don't want to answer that. Don't make me be real with myself. I'm going to lie. And God's like, no. This is how we create intimacy, is by you answering these questions. Because I want to know your heart, and you need to know your own heart. Because there's a lot of stuff in between us, and let's remove it. Let's get closer. You're my child. I love you. So some of it could be reading scripture. Because, again, Jesus is the Word. He is scripture. And the Holy Spirit's there, and he is illuminating the text. He is teaching you the text. He is blowing your mind with the text. Even if you don't feel it, even if you're just like, I'm just reading John 10 today. Okay, well, he is the shepherd. I don't know what that means. Sit in it. I'm just telling you, sit in it. Meditate on it. What is the shepherd? What is the good shepherd? Sit in it. Another way is praying. It's just a conversation with God, guys. And you could do it all day long. Or you could do it in the morning, or you can do it at night. What's amazing is we have access to him 24/7. I think some of the cool things is, I'm calling out Heather, is that she has an alarm on her phone, and it goes off, and it's, pray for this person. And she knows, it's like, oh, I gotta pray for this person. I think that's amazing. We have all these tools that can make it easier for us, and so don't feel ashamed that you have to put a reminder on your phone. Use it. Use it for God's glory. I mean, I think that's amazing. Journal. Sit and write down what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what God has done in your life. Even if you're like, I hate writing, this sucks, you will thank yourself later, because in a couple years when life hits you, you can go back to that journal and open it up and go, oh, wow, God brought me through something. He was there the whole time. Or, oh, I'm so different than who I used to be. Thank you, God. Or you can honestly look back at it and go, man, I used to be that person. I want to be that person again. I really have strayed away from the flock. I want to go back. God, help me go back to that person. Another thing is meditation, is sitting in silence. So we're going to do that right now, actually. I'm going to bring us into an awkward moment. So something that I did during Lent is called the centering prayer. And it's a practice. I'm focusing on the word practice, because you're never going to be perfect at it, okay? And the point is not perfection. It's about relationship. It's about being in God's presence. And so all it is, it's communion with God. This one's a little different because it's not a conversation. You're not there to talk to God. You're there to be in his presence. It's essentially a prayer that invites you into the presence of God, and it's a silent prayer. It's a prayer that prepares your heart and mind to rest quietly in God. Because as I said, we hear so many voices. We hear so many noises, right? We have so many things pulling on our heart constantly, telling us to pay attention to this, pay attention to that. When the centering prayer, it literally centers you back. It centers you back on Christ, what is most important. So I did this through Lent, and it was one of the best practices I've ever done, because it completely transformed my days. It centered me back on Christ. It made me realize, wow, I just want to go. And some of it's good. Some of it is for God's glory, and some of it is what God's told me to do. But if you're go, you end up just out alone, right? Not with the flock, not with the shepherd. I just ran past the gate, and I'm like, come on, God, follow me. God's like, get back over here, Tani. Come on. Let's do the centering prayer. Sit down in your room. Turn off everything. and be with me. And that's what I'm going to invite you guys to do. Normally, they recommend a 20-minute prayer, but I'm not going to do that to you guys. We're going to do 1 minute. And this 1 minute is a rebellious act against this loud, demanding world. So when you do this, feel punk, okay? Feel like I'm rebellious. I'm staying quiet. Nothing's going to distract me. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to be with my Savior, and I'm going to sit here. So I have instructions on the screen, and we're going to go through it. I'm going to tell you what the instructions are first, and then we're going to go through it. So you're going to sit in an upright, attentive posture, and that way allows for erect spine and open hearts. If you guys all just want to stretch out a little bit, you know, sit. Important thing is to place your hands in your lap, because you're going to want to try to grab everything. Even in 1 minute, you're going to want to be like, oh, I'm going to move my hair out of my face, I'm going to move my glasses, I'm going to grab for my phone. I don't know about you, I can't tell you how many times I went to grab my phone in prayer. I'm like, I can't even open up my eyes to look at what's on there. Like, stop, Tani. Then you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to think of a word, an image, something that reminds you of God. This could be a characteristic of God. It could be love. It could be peace. It could be scripture, if you want. If there's any scripture that just lines your heart with God, grab onto that one. If there's an image, maybe it's the image of the ocean. Maybe it's the image of a mountain. Maybe it's an image of a tree. Whatever it is. For some, it could be a sound. It could be the sound of a wave coming in. Whatever reminds you of God, whatever anchors you to God. And this image, this sacred symbol, as they call it, the best way to do it is that it's your sacred symbol every single time you do this. It anchors you every single time. Because we get so distracted, guys. And I'll tell you what mine is. So mine is peace. And I need peace. And with God, I look at him as my peace. So that's why the word is peace. And so when you do this, you're going to close your eyes and you're going to think of your symbol. And you're going to keep thinking of it. You're going to keep thinking of it. So peace. Peace. Okay, I'm hungry. Peace. Peace. All right, I need to do grocery shopping today. I need to upload this podcast. Peace. Peace. You're going to get so distracted. And that's okay. The point is to go back to that word. And it takes time because you're really training muscles in your brain right now. Your brain is so trained to do something different. It's to not rest in the presence of God. And what we're doing is we're training our minds. And we're only going to do it for a minute, but I recommend doing it for 20, trying to do it for 20 this week. It's hard. It took me all Lenten season to get to 20 minutes because I am so distracted. And that's okay. This time is to give yourself grace. Again, it's not about perfection. It's about relationship. It's about being in the presence of God. All right, so does everyone have a symbol or a sacred symbol or word? Everyone good? I'm going to put the timer on. And we're going to do this awkward moment together. All right, ready, set, go. All right. That was a little over a minute. How do you guys feel? Good? Do you guys hear anything? Do you have a hard time going, thinking of your word? Were you pretty distracted? Or was it easier for you to know that it's only 1 minute so I can just focus on it? And that's maybe a way to do it, is to not start off with saying, I'm going to do 20 minutes of this. It's, this morning, I'm going to spend 1 minute in your presence, Lord. Because I can. Because you've given me permission to have presence with you. So that's, I invite you guys to do that this week, is to do the centering prayer, is to sit in the awkwardness with God and just enjoy his presence. Enjoy hearing his voice, because he is the good shepherd. So I'm going to ask Darren to come up here. So the application is to finish this sentence. I will connect to God this week by. And maybe it's not the centering prayer, and that's okay. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's, I'm going to connect with God on a walk. Every morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to walk with him and think about him and pray to my good shepherd, because I can. That's what's amazing about it. And to really walk in and going with humility, not with pride, is saying, why should I listen to you? Oh, I know why I should listen to you, because you're a good God. Because you have changed my life, because I am not the same person I was yesterday. Because God, you are continually transforming me, my family, my community, my church, and this world. And you're gonna come back, and you are my hero. You are the hero, and I thank God for you. So listen to him this week. When you hear him, listen and respond. That's my prayer for you guys. God, thank you so much for who you are. You are amazing. You are the good shepherd. And God, I pray for each person in this room, Lord, that they have an opportunity to hear your voice, that their hearts would be transformed because of your presence, because of who you are. Thank you, God. Amen.